Lupe Fiasco has situated himself as a socially conscious rapper within the hip-hop mainstream, a position that has often created controversy surrounding the degree to which marketable rap music can address serious social and cultural issues. Fiasco has publicly expressed his discontent with the lyrical themes his label, Atlantic Records, has pressured him to adhere to. Despite pressure to conform to mainstream ideals, Fiasco has continually released songs that interrogate problems within the hip-hop community, as well as U.S. culture as a whole. His most recent album, Food and Liquor 2, The Great American Rap Album Part 1, released in September of 2012, addresses a variety of social and political issues. Fiasco said of the album, quote, "This is an exercise in psychological warfare, to challenge your definitions, to stir up conversations, to tell the story of America." Bitch Bad was the second single released from the album. The song and music video, directed by Gil Green, brings to the fore the problematic nature of gender and race performance in the genre of hip-hop by exploring rap performance, the effect on individuals, and the role of the music industry in perpetuating negative stereotypes of African Americans. This paper examines the role of the hip-hop performer as a laborer in the music industry, specifically the function of the performing artist to construct hip-hop discourses of gender, race, and class. Taking Bitch Bad as the focus, I will examine how Fiasco and Green construct a multi-layered commentary that explores several performative roles. Fiasco's occupation as a cultural critic is evident in both the content of the rap lyrics and his role as narrator in the video. The role of the male rapper is developed through a featured character who embodies the typical attributes associated with hip-hop masculinity. And the work of the female backup dancer is presented as stereotypically subordinate to the male rapper. The song and video communicates a critical commentary on gender, race, and class that is in keeping with the model of intersectionality developed by Anderson and Hill Collins. The intersectional analysis presented by Fiasco and Green is a blistering critique of the racist and misogynist stereotypes perpetuated by the music industry. In 2010, Anderson and Hill Collins asked, "Why race, class, and gender?" In other words, why is this issue still relevant given the changes that have occurred within American law, politics, and social policy that were designed to grant equality to all citizens? Their answer to this question is that race, class, and gender, quote, "remain the foundations for the systems of power and inequality." As Anderson and Hill Collins suggest, the intersectional framework first introduced by Hill Collins in 1990, revised in 2000, remains a useful tool for interpreting the power dynamics of current social structures. As most of you probably know, intersectionality is analysis claiming that systems of race, social class, gender, sexuality, ethnicity, nation, and age form mutually constructing features of social organization, which shape experiences and in turn are shaped by individuals. Hill Collins introduced the concept of a matrix of domination, which refers to the organization of power in a society. Intersecting systems of oppression are organized through four interrelated domains of power: structural, disciplinary, hegemonic, and interpersonal. The structural domain consists of social structures such as law, policy, religion, and the economy. The disciplinary domain consists of bureaucratic organizations whose task it is to control and organize human behavior through the routinization, rationalization, and surveillance. The hegemonic domain reflects dominant social and cultural representations. It legitimates oppression through language, images, values, and ideas. The interpersonal domain is made up of our personal relationships and everyday interactions. The dynamics of power and social structures referenced in the matrix of domination are mirrored in various microcosms, including the music industry, and this is particularly evident in mainstream rap, where we see hip-hop as a system of power wherein race, class, and gender are performed for the consumption of others. The structural domain here maps onto the power dynamics of the industry as a whole and involves the companies and people who set the structural parameters that organize power relations. The disciplinary domain involves aspects of the management and production of the workers, including artists, performers, sound engineers, and so on and so forth. The hegemonic domain correlates to the ideas and value systems expressed through hip-hop's music, language, and images, including artists' images, promotional materials like album covers, and so on and so forth. The interpersonal domain can be seen in ways in which individuals interpret hip-hop's language and values, and the way in which these in turn influence their worldview and their relations and interactions. Fiasco's and Green's video for Bitch Bad provides critical commentary on race, class, and gender that reflects all four domains from the matrix of domination. Interpreting the video from within this framework allows us to see the ways in which the labor and workings of the rap music industry continue to function as intersecting systems of oppression. Lupe's naming of Bitch Bad is an inversion of the common rap term bad bitch, which has come into common usage in mainstream rap over the past few years. Negative representations of women have, of course, been discussed in hip-hop since the late 1980s, sparked in particular by censorship debates surrounding N.W.A.'s Straight Outta Compton from 88 and 2 Live Crew's As Nasty As They Wanna Be from 89. While we have seen an evolution of how women are portrayed in hip-hop culture over the past two decades, we have not necessarily seen a positive one. There has been a gradual shift wherein the two dominant representations of women in rap, the bitch and the hoe, have been merged into this one derogatory categorization of women, the bad bitch. This merging of personas is particularly problematic as it creates one generalized category that all women are subsumed under. I've just listed a few songs here. These were all songs containing bad bitch in the lyrics, and they've all been in high rotation over the past year. The prevalence of this term is actually astounding. These songs only represent a very small number. So I want to turn to just a quick discussion of the lyrics before jumping into the video. The lyrics are delivered as a narrative, with Lupe acting as the commentator. The introduction and chorus ask the listener to interrogate the naming of women in rap lyrics, and perhaps more broadly within our culture. The first verse tells the story of how a young boy's relationship with his mother is colored by the descriptions of women in rap. The second verse discusses, I know you're not going to have time to read these, I'll come back to them in a moment. The second verse discusses the ways in which a group of young girls are influenced by rap's lyrics and images. The performance reality duality is referenced at the end of the verse when Lupe states, "They don't see a paid actress, just what makes a bad bitch." A theme maintained between the first two verses is that of children and youth being impressionable and gaining access to censored music. Verse 3 opens with a momentary change of address. Lupe specifically addresses the listener, stating that he is attempting to challenge their conceptions concerning the representation of women in rap. He then returns to the narrative style of the previous two verses, this time interrogating the implications that these early experiences can have in shaping identities and relationships. The trope of performance versus reality is addressed again with the lyrics, "He caught in a reality, she caught in an illusion." The issue of labor is addressed only briefly in the lyrics, in the performance versus reality of the hip-hop singer and the video girl, but Lupe has set the stage for additional commentary to be added in the video. Labor is also indirectly addressed by the narrative strategy chosen by Lupe. He acts as commentator, a form of work in itself. Several important vocal strategies are used in the song to underscore the meanings of the text. Firstly, Lupe raps in a very declamatory style, and I'll play this for you in a few moments. It's slow and deliberate with very clear enunciation, the result being lyrics that are easily understood. This is something that isn't always true of rap music, where complex rhythms, fast flows, and slang can make the lyrics difficult to interpret. Secondly, Lupe adopts several styles of vocal presentation throughout the song in order to portray the characters in his narrative. In verse 1, he uses a higher pitch, assuming the voice of the mother, saying, "Niggas, I'm a bad bitch, I'm a bad bitch." And I've highlighted that in pink right there. In verse 2, he adopts the voice of the male performer that the young girls are listening to, singing, bad bitches, etc. These lines stand out as they are sung rather than rapped, and Lupe adds a slight lisp, clearly demarcating these as belonging to a character and not himself. The lines are further amplified by the addition of backing vocals. In the third verse, we don't hear a pitch change as we did in the other two, but instead a drastic change of recitation as he states the thoughts of the young man in a rapid rhythmic flow. Mama never dressed like that, and so on. Additional vocal layers presented by Lupe include occasional interjections that resonate with many current rap styles. For example, the interjection, "I'm killing these bitches," sung on a single syllable, which exemplifies the misogyny linked to the word bitch in a lot of rap songs. And again, this stands out as being very distinctive, as Lupe's tone is markedly different here. Variation on the backing vocals introduced in verse 2 are reintroduced in the chorus repetition after verse 3. This more melodic chorus leads to a short instrumental bridge that links to a varied chorus sung by MDMA. This section closes the song and serves as a moment of reflection on the issues brought to the fore in the narrative. Lupe repeatedly interjects, "I'm killing these bitches," offering stark contrast to MDMA's melodic singing of "bitch bad, woman good, lady better." The contrast is particularly evident with MDMA's final utterance, which substitutes "they misunderstood" for "greatest motherhood." This final sentiment resonates with the positive trope of motherhood that is widespread in hip hop. Lupe does not, however, allow this positive line to be the final word, but rather sings "I'm killing these bitches" a final time. While the song is certainly powerful on its own, it is the music video that really interrogates labor roles in hip-hop and explores the music industry's role in reinforcing these negative stereotypes of black performers. A major theme running through the video is the labor of black performers, and this is played out in several important ways. The opening scene of the video conjures up the image of the working black musician who faced massive discrimination in the early decades of the 20th century. We see a historic Art Deco style theater, specifically the Miami Tower Theater, built in 1926 and remodeled in the Art Deco style in 1931. The historic feel is enhanced by the effect of old film with black spots and lines running through. This feeling of an older period is further augmented by a fade-in from black and white to a sort of washed-out color. The racial dynamics of the time are illustrated by the direct comparison of a black man hanging a poster with a white man counting money, presumably the theater owner. Shots of sales at the ticket counter and of the white man counting money are interspersed throughout the video. Although we have not yet seen the performer or performers at this point, based on the time period, there is a connotation of the black singer hired to perform but not equal. In this case, Lupe is the main act, a feature that is advertised on the billboards out front of the theater. As the scene fades to color, the shot switches to a side profile of Lupe approaching the microphone, dressed in black and white formal attire, standing in front of a black curtain, which incidentally, as it rises, you see the stripes of the American flag. The historical setting is carried forward with the choice of microphone, a Shure Unidyne 55, commonly associated with performers and commentators of the 1930s through the 60s. This image resonates with several important types of historical figures. For example, we see a lot of political figures from John F. Kennedy to Fidel Castro, to Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Paul Robeson. Now, obviously, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Paul Robeson resonate with Lupe's commentary here because he's specifically addressing issues concerning the black community. In addition to this, the video is dedicated to Paul Robeson, and this is the image that closes the video. Paul Robeson was an actor and civil rights activist. The microphone has also been associated with a number of important singers, including Elvis. It was known as the Elvis mic. It's also been used extensively by a number of prominent African-American singers, including Sammy Davis Jr. and Ella Fitzgerald. The side profile imagery conjures up images of both the musician in the studio, as they're not facing the audience, as well as the commentator of a play or event. Lupe's formal attire, meaning the black suit, aids in the presentation of him as commentator and as representative of the imagery we associate with a lot of black performers from these earlier periods. His position as commentator is maintained throughout the video. However, we see the song's three verses organized into three acts, and we see the action of the verses unfold on stage behind him. Shots of Lupe are sort of lit with these bright, overexposed lights in the background. We see this merged with shots of him in front of the stage. These images reinforce the performative aspect. Lupe, in his role as commentator, is working as a hip-hop performer. The performative element of hip-hop is further reinforced as we see children watching the scenes unfold in the theater. First, the little boy watches the scene of himself and his mother driving in the car, and this is in verse 1. Fiasco and Green imply a wide-reaching effect of these problematic representations of women by reproducing the image of the boy to fill the theater seats. The meaning here is that this is not an isolated problem. The cultural meanings of hip-hop affect many people. And this idea is duplicated in verse 2, where the three little girls watching the hip-hop video are again multiplied to fill the theater. The labor process is further integrated into the narrative of the video as we witness the rapper and dancer that perform, dressing for work, performing on screen, and reflecting upon their work as they undress following the performance. We see the female using breast and buttock enhancements, applying lip gloss, putting on a wig, and sucking on a lollipop, first innocently behind stage and then provocatively in the performance. The male performer wears a wife beater, puts on a bandana, chains, tucks a joint into the side of the bandana, shows off his grills in the mirror, holds a gun, all in preparation for his performance. As the camera's penetrating gaze reveals these behind-the-scenes perspectives, the viewer sees the performances as work and as such artificial, thus as denaturalized constructions. The artificiality is only enhanced when we see their performance on stage, with Lupe commenting in the foreground. They mug for the camera with a car in the background, complete with spinners. The woman wears a bikini and shakes her booty for the benefit of the man in the camera, while he tosses bills at her. A can of sugar water is prominently displayed for the camera, a likely nod towards 50 Cent's involvement with Vitamin Water and other celebrity-owned and endorsed drinks like Nelly's Pimp Juice. The video closes with a historical reflection on Black American performance roles through the invocation of blackface imagery, juxtaposed with the more current grills, chains, guns, lipstick, and bikinis common to hip-hop. Here we see burnt cork beside this pendant, which I'll talk further about in a moment. The direct comparison here speaks to the intensely racist nature of the imagery from both genres. Lupe moves from the microphone to a more casual position in front of the screening of a blackface film. The performers featured throughout the video apply blackface and associated garments. The woman puts on white gloves, the man applies red lipstick and dons a top hat. These images are directly conflated with the modern hip-hop imagery. For example, a shot of the young man putting on the top hat directly cuts to him holding two guns. Shoe polish and burnt cork are placed beside grills and chains. Okay, I'm just moving back to this pendant for a moment now. It's worn by the male performer. We see it sort of used throughout. And it's a caricature that merges the exaggerated physical characteristics of older blackface images with the modern exaggerated images of gangster rappers like guns and grills. Aside from denaturalizing the typical rap performance, this video also draws attention to the performers as people. During the bridge and final chorus, we see the performers' conflicted emotions, the man screams in anguish, and the shot is directly contrasted with one of his performance. A shot of the woman injecting silicone into her buttock is juxtaposed with her booty shake in the performance. This ending contributes to our understanding of the labor of performance. They are actors playing a part. An overarching theme in the video is to critique the power and commercialization of the music industry. We see this through hip-hop's commercialism, here demonstrated by extensive advertising. The theater signs say Sugar Water Presents, the little boy in the audience drinks sugar water. It's featured in the video in verse 2. It reappears in verse 3 in the form of advertising on a bench and garbage can. Secondly, the filming of the music video in verse 2 points out hip-hop's adherence to standardized forms. The images are familiar images because they are used so frequently. They've become stereotypes. And third, the fact that this is a profit-driven business is evident. Here, the dominant group is seen as profiting from a marginalized group. The white man profits from the actors. While the critique is literally shown in relation to a historic period, the connection to current industry practices is made through blackface's comparisons to hip-hop. While these comparisons have been made before by Michael Eric Dyson and Sut Jolly and others, here the critique can be seen as particularly salient as it is coming from within the genre. I just want to play a minute clip or so for you to get a sense of the video, and then I'll wrap it up.
The plot thickens. High heels, long hair, fat booty, slim. Reality check, I'm not tripping. They don't see a paid actress, just what makes a bad bitch. Bitch bad, woman good, lady better, hey, misunderstood. I say, bitch bad,
I'm in good. Lady better, ain't misunderstood. Disclaimer, this Raymer, Lupe's, not using bitch as a lesson, but as a psychological weapon to set in your mind and really mess with your conceptions, discretions, reflections. It's clever misdirection, cuz. While I was rapping, they was growing up fast. Nobody stepped in to ever slow them up. Gasp, showing up in this little world. The little boy meets one of those little girls.
I hope you'll have the chance to maybe watch the whole thing later, but I should wrap things up here. So as I discussed earlier, hip-hop can be seen as a system of power wherein race, class, and gender are performed for public consumption. The four domains of power from Hill Collins' Matrix of Domination framework are seen at work in Fiasco and Green's video. The structural domain can be seen in aspects of the music industry that organize power relations. This is made particularly evident through the ways in which the labor process is both displayed and interrogated. The racial implications brought in through the blackface imagery and the white theater owner further problematize the structural aspects of the industry. The disciplinary domain is also interrogated through the lens of work as we see the actors playing the roles that are set for them. The hegemonic domain comes into play through the interrogation of the language, images, values, and ideas dominant to mainstream rap. The interpersonal domain is explored through the personal relationships of the primary characters in the lyric narrative. The worldview of the little boy and little girl are shaped in part by the music and images of hip-hop, and we see the problematic result narrated in the third verse. While the negative stereotypes of black Americans presented in some mainstream hip-hop do not necessarily reflect the lived experiences of black Americans, these stereotypes do influence and help shape attitudes, both within and outside of black communities. While many artists resist these stereotypes, they still remain the dominant images of mainstream rap, images that are in turn that influence the attitudes of audiences. Fiasco and Green's dialogue in Bitch Bad can be seen as a direct commentary on the intersectional issues faced by members of the hip-hop community, and it is this type of commentary that is needed for continued change. Thank you. Well, yeah, absolutely, and I think that one of the things that I've liked about a lot of Lupe's work, and I mean, it's certainly open for a great deal of criticism. I mean, most of the music that we see coming out of hip-hop that is critiquing, whether it's presented by a male or female, is usually still reinforcing these roles in some ways. And absolutely, the scene that he shows here is interrogating these gender roles at the same time that it's upholding them, right? Because we still see... in many ways, the little boy sort of growing up to be in control of the situation, right? He's, judging the woman. But it's problematic, but I still think that the issues, the way that they express the issues here, at least are causing us to consider them and to interrogate them further. Yeah, I mean... I don't know how many of you listen to a lot of hip-hop in the room, but I think the most notable example of, for example, a woman taking up Bad Bitch is Nicki Minaj. Unfortunately, I don't think she does it in as problematic of a way, or she doesn't problematize it in the same way that some of the earlier female rappers, like of the late 90s to early 2000s, these hardcore rappers, claimed bitch. I think when Nicki Minaj does it in songs, it's the Mardi Gras one. The title is gone for me at the moment. But anyways, I don't think she does it in a way that problematizes it as much as some of the earlier female rappers. And so for that reason, I think that this stands out as being, a really important moment. I think a lot of us sort of take these lyrics for granted, even those of us who interrogate it. I know that I listen to a lot of hip-hop on the satellite hip-hop radio stations. When this song came out, I started paying more attention, I mean, not more attention to misogyny, but more attention to Bad Bitch. And it would come on maybe every fourth song I would catch it, just driving in the car. And I've noticed that to be a consistent thing. Like, it's far more prevalent than I even would have imagined, so... are there other artists interrogating it? quite possibly, but the only ones I can think of that I've noticed would be Nicki Minaj. So I'm hoping that more people will continue to do that. Yeah, that's a hard question to sort of. I'm just trying to think back to. I mean, I guess in some of these, I wish I could have played the whole video for you, and of course that's my fault for not, you know, planning the timing a little bit better. But in some of the earlier scenes, as we see the female performer, maybe I could switch back to a slide momentarily here. We see the female performer here. Right, the one in the pink wig, we actually see her getting dressed for the performance, right? So she's sort of holding these silicone cups up. She's trying the wig on. But it's interesting that in the way that she's portrayed, I think the idea that Green and Fiasco had with the video is to show her as sort of non-sexualized and then sexualized in this video, right? Because they show her picking up this lollipop, sticking it in her mouth, and then when she's dancing, she's like, there's a focus on her mouth as she's like licking the lollipop. But I think that in that scene, we can see this idea of being already sexualized, just in the way that she still is, you know, an attractive woman in a tank top, you know, applying the lip gloss and sort of donning these garments of sexuality. So I think that's one location that that we certainly see it. And I think that when we come to sort of the bigger critique, which is the effect that it has on women's, the interactions, this interpersonal level that's played out in the third verse, the way in which the woman is adopting this type of sexuality and adhering to it as normative, I mean, we can only see that in part in relation to these lyrics, right? I mean, the overall critique here, I think, is not just of hip-hop, it's of sort of the general, you know, representations of these communities within our culture. I know I haven't, you know, gone into a huge amount of detail, but it's an excellent question.
Thanks so much. Yes. Yeah, I think we're out of time, so thank you.